So I pray that you'll give him your attention and that you'll absorb the thing God would have you absorb, just as I will in my case.
Good evening. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I thank you for coming. This evening I'm going to be speaking to you about your friends, your loved ones, how you act with them, how they act with you, how you treat each other, the things that you expect from your friends, especially those closest to you, your best friends. If you've ever had a best friend, like in your childhood, one that you can remember if you're as old as I am. I was thinking of some of them today and some of the things that we used to do and games that we used to play, and we used to race each other and stuff like that and see who could do things the best and try our hardest to be as good as the best one in the group and all of that. I always remember there would always be one that everybody would kind of look up to, and he could do amazing things that no one else could. He could throw a football farther. He could shoot a BB gun straighter. He could run faster. He could do all these things. And you always wanted to be like that, and you was always trying. Well, there was this one kid, up in Montana. His name was Keith Bjornsness, and he was good at everything, and he could do all that stuff, but he was a really nice kid, just a really good friend, you know, and you'd be doing stuff, and he'd be like, okay, guys, come on, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to play this game, and everybody's going to run as fast as they can, and we're going to be good, and we're going to be the winning team, and we're going to make it. And he was always like that. You know, he'd always tell you, yeah, you can do it, come on, let's go, and he'd show you how to do it a little bit better, or, you know, throw a football better, or something like that, and show you how to shoot the BB gun, you know, breathe right and all of that, and hit the target better and stuff. And he was a really good kid. So he was a good friend. Someone that you could count on. Now, my wife, she's my friend. She's my good friend. She's my best friend now. She's someone that I count on all the time. And I'm sure all of you that are married, that's what you expect from your spouse. To be able to count on them. When things go wrong and things go bad, for them to be firm and strong in their faith and in their love of you and in their wisdom. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do for each other. Those of who are our friends, our loved ones. Because right now, we are all in a race. We're in a race for our life. So this evening, we're going to be talking about all those things. I'll be reading out of 1 John and the book of Psalms, and then I'll be reading out of the Gospel of John after that. So, right now I would like to turn to 1 John. It's the second chapter. And I'm going to start at the 28th verse of chapter 2 of 1 John. And I will read all the way down through the third chapter before I'm done. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He also wants to be your friend. And he would be a better friend than Keith Bjornsness ever could be. He knows a whole lot more than Keith, a lot more wise, and he's a lot more caring, and he's never ever wrong. He never ever gives me a bad idea. He never ever leads me astray or tells me a lie or lets me down. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So that's what he was for. That's what that friend was created for. To destroy the works of the devil. To help us. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So here's Jesus going, come on, let's do it, you guys. Let's run that race together. You guys, we're going to run down this path right here. Here's the starting line. Come on, let's go. You can do it, and we're going to beat Satan. We're going to destroy him. We're going to win. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to be right here cheering you on the whole distance. Come on, let's go. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's a friend. He laid down his life for us so we could win the race. Sacrificed himself so we could withstand Satan and win. And he's still cheering us on. Telling us to love our brother. To love our friends, our wives, our husbands, our children, our neighbors. Like he loved us. Willing to lay down his life. For us, that's what we should be doing. Be willing to sacrifice ourselves like that for all those of our friends so they can win the race too. Give up our will to serve him. Be patient, kind, thoughtful, not hateful or envious, mean, not a backbiter, not a gossiper or someone who lies, but someone who cares about other people. And then we do that, we're going to be running that race with him. And if we do it till the end of our life, we'll win the race of our life. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't just say, oh, I love you. Oh, I hope you feel better. But do something about it. Show them how much you love them by your actions, through your prayers. If they have need of something and you have it, let them use it or give it to them if you can. Share. You know, your best friend in kindergarten, when you'd come to school and they would have some Oreos, because we didn't have double stuffed Oreos back then. We just had the regular kind of Oreos. And if your friend had an Oreo or, you know, some extra Oreos, he would give you an Oreo if you didn't have one. We used to have lunch boxes, metal lunch boxes, and everybody had one almost. But most kids, they would bring a banana to class, to school. And on the banana, usually, if you were lucky, there was a little Chiquita banana sticker. And on the inside lid of the lunchbox, when you open it up, that's where you would put the sticker. And that was, you know, everybody thought that was really cool. The more stickers you had, the cooler you were, because you got more bananas. Well, some kids would come to school and there'd be two stickers on their bananas. And if you were their friend, they'd give you an extra sticker if you didn't have a banana that day. Because they wanted you to be cool. Those are friends. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. If you wanted to be on Keith's team, and he picked you, and you were lucky enough to be picked, and he'd tell you, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to be the quarterback, and what I want you to do, Sean, is I want you to run out, and I want you to run down 10 steps, and I want you to do a button hook to the right, and then I want you to cut across the field, and when you cut across the field, I'm going to throw you the football, and you catch it. It's like, okay, I got to do this, and all of this. All right, Keith, I can do this. I know I can do this, and I'm going to catch it. I promise I'll catch it. I'll do it. And off you go. Make your button hook and run across the field, and he'd throw you the football. And you did everything that you possibly could do to catch that football that Keith threw at you, because you didn't want to let Keith down, because he picked you. And you sometimes you caught the football. And those were good times. Sometimes you didn't catch the football. But Keith, he'd just say, don't worry about it. We'll get it. Come on. Let's get back in there. Let's go. Let's turn to Psalms. The 78th Psalm. here's a psalm about the house of Israel and how God's relationship was with them and how they treated God and all the things that he'd done for them and, you know, encourage them to keep going and keep going and be his children and be his chosen people and all of that and how much he loved them. And I'm going to start at the first verse and I'm going to read down through the eighth verse. It's Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Who else spoke in parables? Let's see, that was Christ. Yeah, I heard somebody say it, Christ. Yeah. A little bit of a hint there towards the house of Israel. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So we're supposed to teach our children how to run the race of life, how to play the game, to follow Jesus Christ, the one that spoke in parables. We're supposed to teach our children and our children's children so they can teach their children and their children's children that we can all keep following the commandments of God. Mark Hill says that we can talk to people about God all day long, all week long. And sometimes we can even open our mouths when we do it, say something out loud. But we can teach them as we're doing things, how we treat them. If we show the love of Christ in our actions all day long towards the people that we're with, then we'll be teaching them about Christ. This is how you're supposed to do it. See this example that I'm setting before you here at the stoplight? Even though you're mad at me, this is how a Christian is supposed to behave. See the example that I'm giving you here, telling you, come on in, come on in, go ahead, get in front of me. That's how Christians are supposed to be. Here, let me open that door for you. Here, I'll take that cart back to the store for you. Those kind of things are the things that Christ would do for people. Turn over to the 35th verse. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For the heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. So even though he had chosen them to be on his team, even though they said, yeah, I want to be on your team, and yeah, I'm going to do my best and work for you, and we're going to win and everything, they lied. Nah, I don't want to run. You can hike the ball, but I'm just going to walk out there, and if you throw the ball at me, I'm not even going to pick up my hands. But I want to be on your team, sure, because we're going to be winners, right? I'm your chosen one. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh. Just poor humans. Not perfect. There's a whole bunch of imperfect humans running around on this planet. One of them is standing up here in this room. God has forgiven me many, many times for my sins. He hasn't destroyed me yet. He's had a lot of compassion towards me and forgiven me of my sins when I ask him to, even though I haven't done my best through the whole race. And that's how we're supposed to treat each other. You know, the rest of you out there are humans too. And I'm supposed to remember that and be forgiving. And when he says to forgive, he doesn't just mean to say when someone comes up to you and one of these humans comes up to you and says, I'm sorry, I did it and I'm sorry, please forgive me. Please. Oh yeah, it's okay. Glenn, did you see what they did? Oh man, I can't believe. And now they want me to forgive them. Yeah, I can't believe. Is that how you're supposed to act? Are you supposed to say, I'm sorry, it's okay, and then turn around when they're gone and start talking bad about them? Yeah, they did this and they did that and they did this and all of that, and I'm supposed to say, yeah, it's okay. What a, that's just, I can't stand that. You know, that's, I hear that from people. I see people that get in arguments and fights and stuff and they'll say, oh, I'm sorry. And it's okay. And then when the person leaves, I've seen these people turn around and go, and say bad things about the person that they just forgave. That's not what God does. It's not what Christ did. When you forgive somebody, you're supposed to forgive completely. Remember when Mark was up here and all the sins were written on the board and he wiped it clean and there were no more sins there because we asked God to forgive us of all of those sins that he had written up there? It was gone. You don't hear God turning around to all the angels going, man, I can't believe it was all those humans, you know. Can't believe they asked me to forgive him again. He's not that way. He forgives and it's gone. For he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And he forgave them still. And he's been forgiving them ever since. He even gave them their country back after they crucified Jesus Christ. Because he loves us. He loves each and every one of us humans, these frail beings that are blown away in the wind, the same. Just like we're supposed to love each other the same as he loves us. And be willing to forgive and forget and let it go. Turn to John. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. I'm going to start at the 28th verse. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You know, we have a promise in that statement. If we will do the things that God has commanded us to do, he will not leave us alone. He will not leave us alone to run the race of life all by ourselves. But if we keep his commandments, he'll be there with us as long as we do those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if we believe the words of Jesus Christ, we can be on his team. And if we're on his team, we're going to win the race. We'll be free. He will help us. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? I don't need to be on anybody's team. I can run this race. Abraham's my dad. All of Abraham's kids are the chosen ones. I don't need your help. I can do this. Who are you? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Remember back there in 1 John where Satan, he was talking about Satan. Satan's the one that got Cain to kill his brother. Satan is the father of all lies, and everything he says is a lie. All that stuff that Randy was showing us this morning, those are all lies perpetrated by Satan. Trying to get people to run down the wrong path. It's not the path of life, it's the path of death. There's only one path to run, and there's only one starting gate. If you don't start out right, you're never going to be on the right path. You're not going to be in the right race. And you're never going to win life. You'll win death. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Do we do that? Do you not let the words of Christ in your heart? Do you make excuses for the things that you want to do instead of doing the things that Christ wants you to do? Oh, it's not that bad of a sin. He's not going to kill me for this. I'll repent tomorrow. I'm going to church on Sunday. I can make it till then. Sacrament's only a week away. I'll be okay if I can make it to sacrament. I'll take care of it Wednesday night. Or even better, I'll call up an elder and have him come over and administer to me, and that'll take care of everything. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. And Abraham, they know, was called the friend of God. He was on God's team. Fact is, he got to walk and talk and eat with God on a daily basis. Now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. That's what Randy told us this morning. The truth is the truth. No matter what we say or how we twist it around to suit our purposes, in the end, when we stand in front of God, there's no way that we're going to be able to deny it. Yeah, I didn't want to run your race. I didn't want to be on your team. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to go play tetherball instead of run a race. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. Because you are not of God and you're not on his team. Turn to the 14th chapter of John. John 14th chapter, 23rd verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. This is the word from God. You love Jesus Christ, you better keep my commandments. Because if you don't, then you're a liar. And all liars belong to Satan. They are of the world. They are not of God. Fifteenth chapter, 12th verse. This is my commandment. This is how you're supposed to run the race. This is how you're going to win the race of life. You start out at the starting gate, which is repentance and baptism. You receive the Holy Ghost, and then you're off. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. He loves us. He's not lying. He's telling us the truth. He's telling us how to win the race. Keep his commandments, all of them. If you don't keep his commandments and all of them, then you are committing sin. And you're not going to win. But if we do keep his commandments, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So, wives, husbands, parents, children, neighbors, friends, love one another as Christ loves you. Treat one another the way Christ treats you. Forgive one another when you ask it of each other. Forgive it the way that God does. Erase it. Let it go. If you don't, you're not going to make it. Don't turn around and start talking bad about the person when they leave, or you're going to stumble and fall and crash. You're going to wipe out any hurdles that are in your way, and you're going to be laying in a bloody heap on the side of the racetrack. Now, if you're wise enough to remember the sayings of Christ, you'll repent and you'll ask that person to forgive you, and then Jesus Christ will pick you back up, fix your boo-boos, and get you back in the race. But if you don't repent, you're just going to lie there in a bloody heap until you're dead. It's up to each and every one of us as individuals as to whether we're going to run this race with Christ or we're going to run our own kind of race or play our own kind of game while we're here. We watched a movie last night. It was called Invictus. And there was a quote in it that I had heard before and I'd always liked, and I had forgotten about it. But the quote is from a poem. And the quote is, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." It's up to each and every one of us to decide what we're going to do and whose race we're going to be running in. Thank you.